karma and how it affects human relations. Tonight I'm going to talk about the theosophical perspective on the subject of karma. The society, Theosophical Society, is about 106 years old. And I think the word karma is accepted practically everywhere. You read it in novels, you read it everywhere, the word karma. Of course, it is a tradition which the Theosophical Society did not invent in any way. It is an old tradition in both Hinduism and Buddhism. But I think the Theosophical Society did a great deal to make a bridge between East and West, and thus the words karma, and I think the consequence, reincarnation, are really accepted by many, many people. But it, of course, stemmed originally from both Buddhism and Hinduism. From the theosophical perspective, which I'm going to give, but I think my analogies will be very up to date. But they will be only analogies. From the theosophical point of view, karma is a basic law of the universe. It is often called the law of cause and effect. It is that law of causality, that nothing happens without it having an effect upon some level or other. It is therefore not a law which dictates what happens to people. I think what we clearly must understand that we are part of that law, and thus we are affected, and we are affected by it. I think these are the two fundamental propositions which are basic to that law of karma. I think that karma, in that law of cause and effect, and of course, I'm not going to talk about this particularly tonight, this will be the subject next week, but from my point of view, and I think in the point of view of both Buddhism and Hinduism, karma and reincarnation are two concepts which go together. But the law of karma is very far-reaching if we understand something about it, because it affects our lives most profoundly. If we feel that there is this universal law, then when we are born, it's not an accident of fate. And also, from this perspective, people are nations, people, and this is partly the law of the reincarnations, are bound together through many civilizations. I always tell you this story because it's a good one. It happened to me while I was in St. Louis, Missouri, many years ago. There was a man being interviewed by the papers because he was being electrocuted the following day. And they asked him, when he was going to die, what did he believe in? And he said, oh, many people from many different religions had come to talk to him. But when he was going to die the following day, he said he remembered the words and the talking of one man. And he had told him, while he was in the death cell, about something called reincarnation. And this comforted him, because he said that he had another chance. And I think this is part of the karma and reincarnation. I think this is the most outstanding story I've ever heard in my life as a description of it. Now, when a person is therefore born, he is born into a family, and we often think this is by mere chance. We may like our family, or we may not like our family. But we feel this is an accidental chance in which we have nothing to do. If we again think about this karma, particularly which affects human relations, we must realize that when each person is born, he has within himself a past from other lives, but also he has within himself the ego. You could call it a transcendental self. It doesn't make really much difference what you call it. And this is something which is carried over from the past. And when a baby, a baby gets born, this transcendental self, this ego, in other words, has a say in it. When I closed the series on life after death, and what I said in my last lecture was that when a person dies, he goes to a place, I'm not going to repeat that lecture, where he sort of absorbs the experiences of the past, where things are really, which he experiences at a beautiful level or a harmonious level. But at that level, he gets, I'm talking now not so much about only a baby, but as a person dies, he gets, I think, one way of putting it, a thirst for life. I mean, I think this is one way, because I think, and now here I'm going to give my up-to-date analogy, I'm thinking of karma as a computer. A computer has memory, doesn't it? And a computer can encompass, it's nothing but an analogy, it can encompass many different facets. Now you might say, who programs the computer? This is the next question you will ask me. I believe, and this is the theosophical point of view, that there are beings which do help to do this. This is maybe too up-to-date an analogy, but I think it gives you another point of view. In other words, when we die, we, at the end of our life, we've had many relationships. They may be negative, they may be positive, whatever it is. And this is very much a Buddhist idea, that at the end of the life, the sum total, I'm not moment by moment, there is a sum total, and that's maybe the part which is programmed, what you might say, the sum total of these experiences, which in many ways are not finished. Now, what do I mean by the word finished? If you have a relationship which is still based on either love, hate, in other words, a great deal of personal attachment. Personal attachment is a very strong link between people in always, when that's obvious, I should say, in our experience of death. Because we very often feel that our relationship has something which is not finished in it. Whether it is, again, close or not close, there is this unfinished relationship. And we often think about the doing. We often think that if we don't do, let's say, anything bad, let's just put the big generality of that, it can mean anything, that is what counts. But finally, our feelings and thoughts are a powerful, have also a powerful effect upon the lives of others. How very often in our relations, it isn't actually the things we physically do, it is how we communicate or not communicate. I mean, both. I mean, it is not one side of the coin. And also, what we project. I think we very, very often There are many people who never say one word, and within themselves, they really heartily dislike somebody else. You would know that is true from your own experience. And this carries over, I mean, in our intimate relationship. But I'm bringing this up is that this is also counted in this law of cause and effect. Our effects in our feelings, in our thinking, which we very often underrate. We are also so concerned about what we do physically that we very often underrate the good effect we have, but also the very damaging effect we can have upon those close upon us, with us rather, in our life. So when we talk about karma, I think we should not think of it like so many people, in a context of physicalism, but in a concept of the totality of what we feel, what we think, and its effect upon other people. So if you can say this, all these effects are, as it were, coded in this computer, which we can call karma. And thus, when a person, as I said, I'm coming back to life again, we are born, we are a baby. What brings us together in our circumstances is our parents and ourselves, whether we know it or accept it or not, we chose it. Part of us, this self, before we are born, and of course guided by these intelligences which are behind it, they bring us into this relationship, maybe good or bad. But very often, don't you think this all of you have experienced? You meet somebody outside of your family, and you feel you've known them all your life, haven't you? I mean, you feel all of a sudden, it's not your family. You feel here is your friend. Here is the person you have instantaneously this relationship of intimate knowledge. I think everybody has had this with strangers. And I think when this happens, all this are evidences of something in the past. Now, I come to the most difficult part of my talk and human relations. We are born in these, particularly today, we are born in very violent times. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of disturbance going on around us. Now, from my vast experience of sickness and dealing with human beings, it is amazing sometimes that people who are born with a physical deficiency, in other words, can accept this easier sometimes because there is no way outward. Am I making this clear? They are born with something which keeps them an invalid. They have to learn to live with it. I've known really wonderful people who have been incapacitated severely, and yet by their acceptance and by their development of their real sense of identity with this inner self, they have reached a sense of fulfillment. I really know that from my own experience. Shall I tell you this one story again, which I think I have told you very many times? I went to see with some newspaper reporters a boy who never was able. He was in bed, and he never would get out. All he could do is move his head from left to right, and he could use his right arm. and he could earn his living, because the newspapers helped him, earn a living by drawing very simple advertising. Why the newspapers brought me to him is because they said, this boy, with all his incapacity, did more good than anybody they acknowledged in the newspaper. And I waited. I talked to him, of course. He could talk and that sort of thing. About 3 or 4, the place was filled with high school students. And hundreds of high school students came every day because he counseled them. And what he did, he was happy. He gave such a feeling of happiness and peace. And yet, you would say from the karmic point of view, or from any other point of view, there was his severe affliction. He accepted it. There was nothing else he could do. He grew in his spirit. And his whole idea with this limited thing was, what can I give? This, I think, was a remarkable thing about it. Now, many other people, we are unhappy. There's a great deal of unhappiness. There's a great deal of tension between parents and children, between husbands and wives, and in all sorts of social circumstances. And it's also, we are a country, and we are everything is under pressure and in changing. You know about the study of reincarnation, which is just interesting. Dr. Ian Stevenson has done a great deal of work on this. We have got, I think, most all of his books in the library. And let me, while I'm talking about books, there is a very good book, Stevenson's A Just Story of Reincarnation. And what's interesting about this is that most of them occur in India. Why? Because nothing changes so much. In 40 years, three months ago, I was in Chicago, and we parked in a garage. I went yesterday to Chicago. There was no garage anymore. I mean, the physical changes in this country, for instance, are phenomenal, aren't they? And in India, for instance, I think this is why they pick up so often the traces of incarnation, because the villages do not change, the cities change in India. But the villages in remote India don't change. And thus when they trace these memories of small children and this sort of thing, they can trace the background. But to come back to the karma, I think if we, in our relationship and in our life, could see, and this is what I'm feeling, and in other people, another man who's done a great deal of work on the subject of reincarnation and karma are the books by Edgar Cayce. They do a lot of study in that way. What you want learns from this is when we are in difficult circumstances and we are boiling with anger because we feel somebody has done us an injustice. And sometimes we keep it inside and we really do not express that, but it keeps burning within us. What we don't realize, if we are in such circumstances, maybe at this moment we are getting unjust treatment. But here comes the lesson by which, if you read any of these documents, the same story, the same circumstances are repeated life after life. We become attached to our hates. We are becoming attached. Are you following what I say when I use that word? We become attached sometimes to this when it is not affecting us at the moment. I saw a girl in California. She had a passionate hate of her mother. In one way, she was not affected by it in her daily life. But the thought, the attachment of this bitter hate really was making her physically sick. I don't know that you are catching what I'm saying. She couldn't see herself today, when I saw her, away from her mother. Whatever she was justified or not, I'm not going to argue the case at this moment. What enchains us, and I'm using this word very deliberately, is the pattern we build in our thoughts, even when the event has passed us. That makes sense to you. We lose any sense of proportion, and we keep on sending, and it's really being chained. I think it's just as good a word as I can think of it, by these emotions. And over again, we are not aware that even if we are not suffering from negative circumstances or negative relations at the moment, that thinking, and I mean deliberately thinking and visualizing these things which happened in the past, we cannot seem to be, and this is what how karma works. This is where there is repeatability because we are not learning the lesson. That makes sense to you? Now, if one is in a difficult circumstances, everybody at some time or other is in a difficult circumstances. If we could say, I had a lady who had once, some years ago, who had exactly that way. She had some terrible circumstances. And what I made her say every day, just as an exercise, is, I'm consciously living aloud, I mean, she had to say it aloud, that she was living, whatever it was, the 4th of March, whatever it is, in the year she was living it, so that she could see and learn to become aware that she really herself was living in different circumstances, in a different year. Am I making this clear? And it's this awareness, this conscious awareness of this that can make you aware. And then you could, I mean, this is the next thing. I mean, if you want to free yourself from a negative karma, and anyhow, it makes a great deal of difference to your happiness. If you can then say, I am doing this, because if you are sending this passionate hate like this girl to this mother, from my belief, you're tying yourself to that mother you hate. You haven't learned a lesson, have you? Does that all make sense to you? And thus, my suggestion is that we should become, first of all, consciously aware of what we are doing. Remember the year. I mean, you may joke about this, but remembering the year is quite psychologically an important thing if you think of the past. But also to say, this is a violent reaction, sometimes from childhood. Is there anything in the relationship which we have built up which is my part? Karma is always an interaction. It is not something which is superimposed from the outside. It is always an interaction. And thus there is always something within us. If we can, in other words, say that in some way or other, we were involved in this, and you begin not to react, but to think about it, then slowly, I've seen this happen so tragically often. How many children have told me that their parents do not love them? And basically, I think for many, many reasons, the parents in many cases are not at all able to express it. Some people are locked up within themselves. They have sacrificed for these children. Am I making that well? But no communication is possible. And thus, they have the wrong impression. And yet those children, with that idea, will do all sorts of terrible things because they are locked up in that idea. Am I making that? It is never the thinking out both ways, which is the only way, I'm stressing this, to understand karma. To free oneself from that, one has to go that way. I don't believe there is any other way. And I think if we can, it lifts a tremendous burden of ourselves. And within us, as I said, what I firmly believe, what makes up our mind when we are born, which helps with this computer-like forces, is the self which accepts it. And let me say this. In human relations, this is what I call tragic karma. Certain severe mental illness in children, I mean, they do not live very long. I mean, they will live a year or two. I mean, that's a common thing. And they mostly get a sickness. And, you know, they die. I mean, this happened not to people. These cases are not cases which happened in a newspaper. They were my friends. They had children, and they did get the terrific sicknesses at 2 years old or whatever. These people were totally, I mean, they didn't respond, in other words. They weren't children who had any responsive mechanism. They were born that way. So that was a karmic link. The mothers, because they were all mothers, would never, never accept it. And the doctors really were honest with them in these cases. Instead of seeing, from my point of view, that karma and liberation was offered in a natural way. Am I making this clear? This was the natural thing. Because of a peculiar sense of guilt, they fought, and they fought. They put every bit of energy in. And the children lived. But the gateway was opened. Am I making that clear? And the mother suffered. Because in the three cases I know, the children lived 25, 35 years, complete idiots. You know what I mean? So sometimes our feeling of guilt, our feeling of not belonging to a pattern. And another thing is, one of the weirdest accidents I've ever... All these happened to my close friends. You must think I have strange close friends. One of the strangest accidents I've ever heard of. There was a little boy. He was the apple of everybody's eye. And he was the oldest. And he brought tremendous joy to the family. I'm stressing this. He had a brother younger than himself. And they climbed the tree, and the freak accidents of all, there was a nail on that tree, and it killed this boy, and not the younger boy. Now, they left that little boy, the younger boy who survived, they left him alone, believe it. He was just as much, anyhow, that's beside the point. They could never figure out really, and they said it aloud, why this boy should go and not the second boy. But these are true stories I'm telling you. Well, I got to know this family many, many years after it happened. I think I was able to help them. Now, from my point of view, and here comes karma from my point of view. And it happens very often in children and parents. The connection, this tremendous love between this little boy who died and the whole family was a boon. Are you following me yet? They had 7 years, whatever he ever got, how old he was, 7, I think. And they had a wonderful relationship, full of love with no anything. And I think I explained it to them, and they accepted it afterwards. For many, many years, their life was darkened, you see, by this question. Instead of, and this is again, if karma, if you have a beautiful relationship, and somebody passes on, this is, I think, very much part of the theosophical teachings. Because, you see, death, and we accept, is something we accept. I talked about that last time. But we also accept both the idea of reincarnation and karma. That if you can accept that, that you've had a beautiful relationship, the relationship, the link, is something which never dies. Does that make sense to you? It may be not there for this moment, and it isn't, of course. But if you have this sense that this, that karma, is an orderly process, and our growth depends upon how we accept circumstances, and this is the thing which I want to stress, of which we can do nothing about. I'm not advocating, which very often the idea of karma is associated with the idea of acceptance and that you should do nothing. I mean, this is far, far from my point of view. I think that if one can change, in other words, if one can change circumstances, if one can change, I personally think that everything is moving in the universe, in other words. Everything is moving. So if we can change, and first of all, I think we can change ourselves. That's the first thing. We can change our thinking. Therefore, I'm not thinking that we should not change circumstances if we can. Because the challenge of being able to change circumstances is also part of karma. But if we cannot change our circumstances, I think it to me is an indication that this is something, this karma has meant for us. And the more we fear it, am I making this clear? If you fear it, if you think again with these mental images, you have something which is going to happen to you. It may not be so bad as you think. But we produce our own suffering by before something happens, we put these terrible images very often before us, don't we? And sometimes it actually isn't so bad as we think. But we are really hurting part of our lives by continually doing this. We make, therefore, and this is what I mean, it's not imposed by even the law, it's imposed by our reaction. It's an automatic process. It is not something destined. Am I making that clear? Our reactions are in our own hands. This is what I am. It is only how we can grow in insight if we accept this basic thing, that our reactions to anything, they are absolutely in our own hands. if, but here comes always the awareness. It is incredible. How we are not aware of what we feel. For instance, if we have somebody in our family, I talk to a lot of nurses sometimes, and this, of course, is part of a nurse load, is that we have deal with people who are sick. Now, if there's nothing we can do, but we can do the best we can. But very often, and I'm not thinking about permanent invalids, but if we think of people and continually think of them and expect them to behave in a negative way. They do. I'm not saying that they aren't doing it. I'm a realist. You are building up in your own mind. You are somehow or other, this is the most difficult thing, you are contributing to that. Am I making that clear? If, when this happens, you can accept the reality. I'm not saying that we should not do it. But if you could think of that person doing these things, but never giving up in your thinking of that person, that person has within himself, if he develops this power of the self to overcome it. Does that make a difference in point? You're not, therefore, you accept the ups and downs because people in different habits, it's very hard. But if you encourage in that thinking, you first of all are freeing yourself from adding, in other words, to the karma of relationships. Have I made the point there or not? And I think life is difficult. Maybe I'm talking and making it more difficult for you. But I think it's very important for us personally to be aware of it. If we are, we could really change our life patterns. There's no doubt about it. I've seen it happen. And by doing it, I think we also get that sense of self-responsibility. Let me say this, the karma, which I brought out, makes one feel that's hopeless. No, I don't feel that. What I feel is, I want to make it clear before I stop. From my point of view, when a baby comes into the world, probably, and here comes genetics, inheritance, all this is, comes into it too, doesn't it? Comes into the world with this self acquiescing, agreeing to that, that certain things which are in relationships will probably have to be worked out, or even if you are born like this boy who couldn't move, he was born that way. Am I making that clear? I mean, it. But nevertheless, I think the purpose of our being there, here in this world, is to gain an insight. And by our insight, and slowly remember, I personally believe, I'm talking a lot about healing, and I always stress this, point of view, that the physical body, if you know enough about it, is always, the body compensates endlessly in disease and always, is always really searching or working towards some compensation, or we could call it order. I mean, that's innate, really, in all physical mechanism. Now, I always say, I'm not talking about healing. I feel that the power of healing, in other words, is always one which speeds up the healing, the power of the organism to heal itself. Am I making this clear? Now, with regard to karma, this is not such a bad analogy. I believe that we can, each one of us, by becoming aware of how we are caught in our hates, in our really building these thoughts of the past, we are caught, which leads to all sorts of disaster for us. But I also believe that each individual within himself has that power of awareness. And by being aware, if you can say to your mother, I'm thinking about that girl again, which is one of the saddest cases I know, because that was 3 months ago. And I think she will be helped. That she has a part in it. See what I mean? Some of this is not one-sided, that we have a part of it. If we see ourselves that, and that we could teach ourselves, every time we have a bad reaction, by becoming aware of it, detach ourselves from that past patterning. Am I making a point there, or am I talking a point which is not, I am not making clear? By becoming and determining, I do not want to be caught in that patterning, then you are beginning to exert that power of the self, and you might even begin to say, slowly, I want to do something with detachment, which may become liking, because you understand. You understand the tremendous tribulations which may have a mother, take this case with Slama, which have made the mother do that. What is it? It may be a tremendous sickness, whatever it is. Am I making this clear? If you can do that, you are freeing yourself from that relationship. The relationships in the future wouldn't have to be learned over and over again. You would be free. You could make genuinely then a fresh life, not only here, because if you are freeing yourself, you're freeing yourself from a tremendous burden. But if you therefore accept that law of karma, from my point of view, and where I accept reincarnation as part of it, this will have an effect now and in the future. But let's even talk about the now. That we accept that our circumstances, our relations are maybe what we have to work out. It's a two-way working. But if we are aware of it, we are the stronger in it. And the moment we have that, I think we are on the road from understanding karma, and we are learning on how to deal with it. Maybe this is all, I think, because this is going to break up in discussion groups right away. Thank you.